I want to set up something for you as you turn in your scriptures today to Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. This isn't in your bulletin today, but I brought something with me. Hope I don't drop it. Every January, I want to give you an opportunity to come forward after the sermon today and to reach into these waters and take out a stone. The stone is to remind you, if you have been baptized, that you are a child of God. And someone said, well, I got one of those last year. Well, good. You got one this year, too. Probably going to get one next year. So just as a reminder that you have been baptized. And if you have not been baptized, still come forward and pick out a stone. And some of them are clear and some of them are bluish. Well, there you go. And if you haven't been baptized, still remember that God loves you very much. So we'll do that at the end of the sermon today. Our scripture lesson comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. I invite you to turn there now and read this story along with me. This is the story, Matthew's version, of the baptism of Jesus. Should have had that marked in my Bible. It was earlier today. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as it came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Friends, this is the Word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Almighty and gracious God, we give you thanks and we give you praise for this word. I ask now that you be with this preacher. May these words be powerful and may they be helpful. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I brought a hymnal with me to church today that I usually don't have with me. I offered it a retirement package a few years ago and it took me up on it. It was a gift from my wife's aunt. I guess she's my aunt too, Lucille and Tom Neighbors. When I graduated from seminary, they gave me this gift. And my name is printed there on the front. Can you see that? Of course not. See, this hymnal has seen better days. I have done this way too often. And I've ruined it. I've broken its spine. And so about 5 years ago, I offered it a retirement package, and it took me up on it. And so usually it lands in my office on my bookshelf, and I only bring it out on special occasions like this. I'm not ready to throw it away, because in this hymnal on the pages of the hymns are dates when we sang particular songs. Now, Terry picks the hymns almost always. Every once in a while, I'll make a suggestion or two for her. But when I was in the business of picking hymns, I would always pick my favorites. Time and time and time again. Do the same thing if you were in my shoes. And so I would say, oh, well, we just sang that last week. I can't sing that again. And so the dates are there. If you turn back on page 864, I believe it is, there you will find the wedding liturgy. And I have, in the hymnal that I currently use, a mark where I always write down the bride and groom's name, just in case I have a brain burp and I forget the bride's name. That's not good to do on a wedding day. So I always write in the bride and groom's name on a piece of paper, a sticky note, right? I do that to make sure that I don't forget someone's name. There's a place also where we might sing a song or do a unity candle, and so I have many memories of brides and grooms from this book. Also, a few pages past that is the memorial service place where I have done countless number of funeral services for people that I have pastored through the years. See right there, it says, could be music here, right there, right? And then you get to the baptismal pages, back on page 42, right? And I remember a baptism of a little boy named Blake Johnson. Blake Johnson's mother was Baptist, his daddy Methodist, and they decided when I came they wanted Blake to be baptized. He's 4 years old. So I'm not holding him in my arms. He's standing beside me. Did you hear me say he was 4 years old? He was a squirmer. So I had my hymnal in one hand and I had the baptismal waters in the other hand, and Blake hit my hand at the right time and water, baptismal waters, went everywhere. Everywhere. Some of it got on Blake and some of it got on my hymnal. And now I carry a piece of paper with me when I baptize people, right? I didn't have this hymnal with me when I was at the hospital. There was a little boy, a baby, whose name was Noah. He was born with two chambers of his heart. You're supposed to have four. His dad had married a Catholic girl and had become Catholic, gone through all the classes, but all the rest of his family was Methodist, right? And so they were about to do a very significant test. He could survive that test or maybe not. So his mother said, I want him baptized before. I said, fine. So they called the priest, and he didn't answer. And since I was there already, they said, would you baptize Noah? So I went back to the NIC unit at the hospital, was given a little bit of saline solution, opened up the protective thing where he was, reached my hand in, and from memory, baptized Noah in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful moment. And about 5 minutes later, the priest showed up. He baptized him too. And his father said, just like me, Methodist first, then Catholic. But I will never forget that day, and I will never forget Noah's baptism. It was a powerful moment in time. I've just talked about two baptisms. I want to talk about two more baptisms with you this morning. One is the baptism of Jesus. The other is your own baptism. All four gospel writers include this story in their gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell the story of Jesus being baptized. Are y'all with me today? That is significant, because rarely do all four tell the same story at the same point in the gospel. I mean, think about it. Mark did not even include a birth story. And so here you have a baptismal story. And they all tell it in their own way. And we look at Matthew's version this year. Jesus made his way to the River Jordan to be baptized by his cousin John, who was known as the baptizer. Picture it with me. Go there in your heart, in your mind, you will see that everyone stood in line with everyone else, and Jesus was there too. They went out by the droves. Picture it. Get this image in your mind. There, standing in line with everyone else, is Jesus. And you just have to wonder, what are you doing here, Jesus? I mean, you are someone who was without sin. You're standing with people who were full of sin, who have come to be cleaned up by the water of the River Jordan. Here I want you to see three things. First, John didn't think baptizing Jesus was right. He says, I don't need to baptize you. You ought to be baptizing me and probably everyone else here too, Jesus. Jesus says, second, it's part of God's plan. It is to fulfill all righteousness. It is initiation of sorts. And so he stood in line to be baptized. And then finally, I want you to see this. As he comes up from the waters, the heavens are opened. Mark says they're ripped apart. And the Spirit of God descends like a dove and alights on his shoulders. And the voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." In other versions, it says, "You are my Son." But here it says, "This is my Son," as if everyone needs to know this is who is important. With all of that, with his hair still wet from Jordan's water, Jesus is led to the wilderness where he faces temptation, and we'll get to that in a few weeks. But for now, that's all there is. There's nothing more. There's no explanation of why Jesus was baptized. There's no explanation of how baptism is supposed to happen, when baptism is supposed to happen for us, the methods laid out. Do you use a little bit of water? Can you be dunked? Lots of unanswered questions. But what I know is this. These baptismal waters have a claim on our lives. Are y'all with me, choir? These baptismal waters have a claim on our lives. This morning, with the time we have left, I want to say two things I believe deeply about baptism. I believe more than two, but here are the most important two. First, your baptism, my baptism, gives me an identity. And that identity is simply this: I am a child of God. I am his son, I'm his boy, you're his daughter, you're his girl, and with us he's well pleased. You see, the world tries to give you an identity too, but it can't measure up. The world says if you look this way, or if you live this way, or if you drive this car, or if you wear these clothes, if you live in this certain neighborhood, if you do these things, if you are these things, if you do these things, if you are these things, the world says all that, and the if yous are endless. But God says something very different. God says none of that matters. What matters is if you follow me, if you trust me, if you read about me, if you pray about me, if you remember, you are baptized. That's who you are. And you may not see the skies ripped apart, but you'll hear that voice from time to time. I know, I do. You're my boy. You're my son. Don't you want to hear those words? My dad, my earthly father, died in March of 2018. And in his last season of life, when his mind was failing, he still always said to me every time he saw me, "I'm proud of you." Man, that really got me. Don't we all want to hear that? Now, here's the second thing I want to say to you today, and I firmly believe this too. When you are baptized, it's not a one and done kind of thing. Check mark, I've been baptized. No, you are baptized into something. You're initiated into a life where we try our best to follow Jesus Christ. In our denomination, we baptize you at any age. I was baptized as a baby, 3 months old. Paul Wiles and Jimmy Moore put their strong hands on my head, and I was baptized, 3 months old. I don't remember it, but I remember that I am baptized. If we baptize babies, we say to their parents, it's your job to nurture them in the church. It's your job to bring them to church. It's your job to teach them the ways of God, not just on Sundays, but every day. It's your job to give them an example of how to live. Because kids watch, don't they? Kids watch. You watch, don't you? Yeah, they all watch. They're paying attention. And then it's the body of Christ, all of you. All of you, we say to you, you have a role to play in every baptized person's life, whether it's as a baby or as a 12-year-old or a 45-year-old. What's your role? You are to live in such a way that they see in you a good example in life, right? We ask you to surround them with love and forgiveness. That's what our liturgy says. We ask you to pray for them. So every kid who has been baptized here, who hasn't yet gone through confirmation, that's you. We're praying for you. But I want to hold you to the fire here this morning. Is that okay? It's got to be more than prayers. It's got to be more than words. You got to get involved in their lives. You got to go to sporting events and teach Sunday school and encourage them, maybe even a note of encouragement. My home church, First United Methodist Church, Jackson, Tennessee, prayed for me. Look what happened. I'm sorry. The First United Methodist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, took on my oldest daughter, Annie Grace. We baptized her in the summer of 2001. She was born in May, so it probably was August when we baptized her, 3 months later. Julie at St. Paul United Methodist Church in Little Rock, where I was the pastor at that time, they did the same promise to pray for Julie. I'm counting on you to remember your baptism today. But not only that, to remember your baptism, but to get involved in the lives of our children and our youth, because we need it the most, and they need it. So it's more than your prayers. It's your presence. It's your witness. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.